Okay. Well, hey, KW Redeemer family, thank you for joining us on this Wednesday night. 5 years ago, we actually planted a church in the community center. It's hard to believe that it's been 5 years for some of us that were there at the beginning watching Paul and Susan go to church planting school. It's been a wild ride. And the exciting thing is 5 years ago, we were actually starting to talk about all of you showing up, what it might look like, talk about elders, things that today are a reality that 5 years ago were just part of the vision and part of the faith that we had that God was going to be faithful and build his church, and he has been. So part of that was I'd like to give a special thank you to Nelson Dunk and to Steve Martin, who 5 years ago joined the board with myself and for the last 5 years have tirelessly given their support, their wisdom, their financial acumen. Guys, it's been a pleasure to serve with you. They are going to be coming off of the board now that we have elders, that we have Rick and Peter in place. But thank you is not enough, but thank you, Nelson, and thank you, Pop, as we call him. You know, it's been a pleasure to serve with you, and we'll look forward to what the next 5 years bring. Speaking of that, 5 years ago, we were talking about elders, and now we have Rick and Peter in place. And guys, Paul's excited about it the most, but I'm excited about it. It's great. And thank you. Look forward to your contribution as we head into the next 5 years. And so tonight's really, you know, we call it an AGM. So it's about transparency. We want you to be able to see what we've been up to, how we've handled the finances, what's real, what we're doing. But really, for me, as I've sat through these for the last 5 years, is this is a vision casting night. It's about listening to Paul talk about where we're going to be 5 years from now. You know, like nobody would have ever thought that we would be meeting on a Zoom meeting.
I wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. So we don't know where we'll be 5 years from now, but what we do know is God is faithful. He will continue to build and do what he's doing. And all of you that are with us right now, thank you. God's called you. You belong here. We're thrilled to have you. We look forward to who he's going to call in the future and who's going to fill the seats in the next 5 years. So with that, I'm going to open with a prayer. And then I'll turn it over to Owen for some song. So if you would pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for calling and building KW Redeemer. We thank you for your faithfulness and your guidance over the last 5 years. Father, we look forward to what you're up to in the future. And we have hope that it's good because you are a good God. So thank you for calling us. Continue to call those who you would build this church with. Help us each one to be ready to give a defense of your gospel and to call people to become a member of your church. And Father, in this weird time of pandemic and crisis, would you continue to draw people to you through KW Redeemer and through your church worldwide, Lord? And we just ask that you would bless us tonight. Give us wisdom as we look forward and look hopefully to what's the next 5 years look like. And Father, we thank you for cleansing us. We thank you for your son, Jesus, and for his cleansing blood. And we ask all this in his name. Amen.
I'm going to just really quickly, our mission and vision. You'll recall that on Sunday, for those of you who joined us, referred text in Jeremiah 29, verse 7, where God called Israel good of the city. And that really underpins our philosophy of mission as a church at KW Redeemer as we continue to discern what it means to seek the good of the city, even through this pandemic. And we've been doing this practically. As we continuously support St. John's Kitchen, and then also more recently, since this pandemic, we've been directing the funds that we would normally put towards our rent at the community center to the Mennonite Coalition for Refugee Support. which immigrants who are struggling to make ends meet, many of them caught in the middle of the immigration process and in a foreign land. And so we continue to support them, and we'll discern how that partnership might look, what that partnership might look like going forward into the future. And we're thankful as well for the opportunities that this pandemic has created, to have spiritual conversations, and to share the hope that we have. I know myself, I was able to, before the lockdown, about not being afraid of death, and that with someone that I know who's not a Christian, and they were really interested in that, and this is a neat opportunity that that I'd encourage you to take advantage of with friends, family, and with neighbors. I'd encourage you to continue to foster those relationships, to share the hope that is in you with those. We just encourage you to be bold in inviting people to KW Redeemer as well. Even though we're not meeting in person, we're still meeting in virtually. And a Zoom call might even be less intimidating for some people. So community that this has created that we can take advantage of. And also just wanted to remind you that you can always reach out to Paul or Rick or myself if you'd like support as you're navigating ministering to a particular person, or if you'd like us to reach out and connect with them directly, we'd of course be happy to do that. We pray as a leadership that we'll continue to be able to develop relationships with our youth in the city. We're thankful for the 223 and the youth that are being drawn there, and hope that ministry will continue to grow, and that the joy of the life we have shared with children at such a formative age. And the mission work that we're doing is not top down. It's not something that we are called to delegate to those who might be gifted in those, which is something I want to encourage you all in. It's something that God commissions each one of us to do. He calls each one of us, and it takes many different forms. It doesn't look like one specific formula. There isn't one way of doing mission. We all have different gifts, and we're all in different contexts locally. And so I encourage you to continuously take an inventory of your gifts and your current situation, and ask God how He's calling you to minister the gospel in your current context and to act on that calling. As a leadership, it's our role to be the face of the church and to lead and encourage you all in doing that. And we don't want to create a structure where it's something that can be farmed out, that mission work is something that is only done in foreign countries or only done by certain people who might appear to be extroverts or something like that. That is not the case. We're all called to do it, and are all called to support one another in that process as well. So thank you, church, for your partnership so far. Encouragement as well, personally, as me and Rick have taken on our new roles, and I'm looking forward to what's in store in the future, and I'm thankful that we can be in this place now, even if it's over Zoom. I'm thankful that we can have this opportunity to connect, and although I still deeply yearn for the day where we can gather together again. So with that, I will pass it off to Nelson.
All right. Sorry, I'm not used to be able to unmute myself. That's fantastic. What I'll be doing here is going through the 2000 budget. Rick will be taking the role of treasurer in the future, so he'll go over the 2020 budget. So what we're going to do is, but we will have a chance for some Q&A after we kind of go through just some top level stuff. So if there's any questions on spending or anything like that, then we can do that. I'm not positive how we're going to do that, but I'm sure we will. So just sort of some high level things. That budget, I think, went out a few weeks ago, so hopefully everyone had a chance to look. But if you look at the two left-hand side columns there, in the income and expense statement, first column is our actuals in 2019, and the second column is the budget. So total income, we budgeted for about 161,000 and change. Actual income was closer to 170,000. So quite a bit more than we had anticipated, which is fantastic. In terms of expenses, we did have higher expenses, which we'll go over in a second, for a few things we had anticipated. And so if we look at the very, very bottom line, you'll see our actual expenses was right around 170,000. We had budgeted for pretty well to break even. We still were positive in terms of had anticipated, so that's again good news. I think year over year over the past 5 years we have consistently been higher in revenue than we had anticipated, so that's our top view. In terms of just kind of highlight a few things is wages, and if you there was a Q&A or sorry an FAQ sent out that kind of outlines a few of those line items and what they're used for and how we came up with a few things. So but the one thing I will note in terms of wages is for those of you who are at the AGM last year, you'll know there was a discussion at the board level around making sure that there was wages allocated for the children's ministry position, which Susan takes care of. The best practice really for any organization is to make sure that people that are working in a job are being paid for it. So we had determined that we would, for the purposes of budget, split between that wage wouldn't actually change. It would just sort of be split between the two of them. And some of you know that the presbytery flagged that and actually noted that's not really a good practice. What we need to be doing is making sure that we're setting things up for the future and structures and making sure that we've allocated appropriately wages for a pastor and a children's ministry coordinator part-time. So they gave us recommendations in terms of what those wages should be. And so we implemented that close to the end of 2019. So that's why you'll see that number is higher than what we had budgeted. We had intended for the year to just split the income between Paul and Susan. The guidance we got was that's not the best practice. So we went ahead and adjusted. And so those wages are going to be a bit higher this year, sorry, for last year, and then also for 2020, which I'll let Rick go over. In terms of the other thing I'll note is that if you go down to ministry expenses, in terms of benevolence, we had budgeted a fair bit. Benevolence is the category for helping folks within our own community, within KW Redeemer, who need help with things. There was a 2018, and so we had gone quite over budget, so we bumped that number up. 2019, less so that number, you'll see our actuals were much lower. And again, I'll let Rick go over the 2020 budget, but we've left that, tried to find a happy medium. You never know what's going to come up for folks, so we like to leave that nice and big if we can, just so that we are allocating in case folks do run into trouble and need some help. The second outreach and evangelism right below that. That number is quite a bit lower than what was budgeted. Reason for that is the check to St. John's was missed by the end of the year, so it was sent in 2020, so it will show up in the 2020 budget. So that this time next year, we'll take a look at that and we'll see that we're actually going to be over in our actuals for outreach and evangelism. So that should come out in the wash, but that's why that number is a bit lower than where it looks. So really that net income at the bottom, we more or less broke even, because I think that the check we missed for St. John's was about $2,500. So we were actually really technically close to what our budget had been set. I think the only other thing I'll note, and I don't think it's anywhere, but again, I think we talked about at last AGM, we do still have a bit of a cushion in the bank, which we is there from some very faithful giving at the very beginning. We thought we would need quite a long runway to ramp up to a place where we were able to pay Paul and to pay the rent, and we thought we'd be running a deficit for several years, which turned out to not be the case. Has not had to be touched too much, and that's something that board in the future will discuss, whether that goes towards a staff hire or if we start a building fund or a facility of some kind fund to fund that, then we'll head that way. I think that's it in terms of my notes, but obviously any questions regarding any of the line items for 2019, happy to field questions. Paul and I can field those questions. We'll leave any budget considerations for 2020. Rick's going to pick that up in a second.
Yeah. So thanks, Nelson. So maybe what we'll do now is if we can have you use your function, your raise hand function, if you do have any questions. You'll see it down at the bottom. I think it's in the reactions section.
No, it's not. You can use a thumbs up.
Oh, okay.
But you have to look at it in the manage participants. That's where okay. It is. There's dot.
All right. Sorry. Yeah. If you go over to your names, actually, Rick, if I can, no, actually, yeah, we need to leave those up. So, you know what? Yeah. Since Rick needs to, there we go. So if there are any questions, feel free to raise your hand and then we'll unmute you and let you, make any comments if there are any, and then Rick can pull once you're unmuted, we'll pull the numbers back up. Actually, I guess that's not very helpful. I guess you need to look at the numbers, don't you? Rick, you want to go ahead and put those back up just for a sec?
Yeah, I'll put them up. But also, if people think of questions after I'm done going through the 2020 budget numbers, that's fine too. We'll figure out who's most likely to know the answer.
Sure. Okay. So, that's fine. Why don't we do that? And actually, it might be okay. I think just have it if folks happen to have a question, if they unmute themselves to ask it, because we are going to need to leave the screen share on actually, so people can see the figures to ask their questions. And so that's fine. I'll turn it over to you now, Rick.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, so basically we built the 2020 budget based on what we learned in the 2019 year and some casting forward in terms of what to expect for the coming year. So in terms of 2020 budget for the income side, last year we had an income in terms of regular giving of just over $170,000. In the coming year, we're budgeting just under $179,000. That's about a 5% increase. And we picked that number not so much that we expect everybody to bump up their giving by 5%, but we've been very blessed to continue to welcome new people into our fellowship. And so our trend that we've seen over the last few years is that as new people come and join in the ministry and start to contribute towards it, our amount of giving has gone up piece by piece. And so we're basically forecasting that the Lord will continue to bless us with people coming in. So we've got a slightly higher number for the coming year for giving income. We've also got decided to budget a separate income number for the camping activity for the youth group. Last year we did raise some money for that activity, but it wasn't in the budget. So this year we just put a number in the budget to match that. We've also got a number in there for a GST. In future years, that number will probably disappear because charities are eligible for GST rebate, but that tends to even out over the year. So so that's the income side of things. On the expenses side of things, the wages for a full-time pastor and a part-time children's ministry leader, that's what the wages would look like budget for over a whole year. You'll see last year that we went, as Nelson explained, we went over budget, but at the start of the year, we didn't have that number budgeted. It was just a full-time pastor. And so now we've corrected that, and in terms of having a part-time children's ministry leader as well, that's the staff number for the entire year, along with the associated Canada Pension Plan, EI. The health spending package that we have is basically staying at the same level. And then there's some fees for processing payroll. That's the staff salaries and expenses. We have a category for travel, training and travel expenses. There's always opportunity for some training, not extensive, but we wanted to make sure there's some money in the budget for that. Travel, there is some travel expected, particularly for Pastor Paul, and I think perhaps one of the elders this year. At least one of our presbytery meetings is on the East Coast, and I was privileged to go to the presbytery meeting back in February before all the restrictions hit in Toronto, and it was made very clear to us there that the Presbytery of Eastern Canada really wants every church to participate and be there. So we need to budget for that so that we can be a part of the larger work of the Presbyterian Church in America up here in Eastern Canada. So there's some travel budget allowed for that. And the travel mileage budget is for Pastor Paul's mileage as he travels around the KW region and does his ministry work. Lately, that's consisted of driving around the block and making videos. But it's good to have some money in the budget to reimburse him for the cost there. And then a small amount allowed for parking, too. You'll see we have money budgeted for facility expenses. That includes our Sunday morning rentals at the community center, as well as we rent a room there for the music team, the worship team to practice. And we also rent the 2-2-3 for the youth group and any other rentals. So sometimes we rent the Kitchener Public Library and so on. So there's money budgeted there for rent. Now, that's the budgeted number that we began the year with. As we can well guess, we won't be spending that much money this year because we are not able to use the community center for 2.5 months at least. So I actually to the end of June, so 3.5 months. So we'll come in under that number, and that's what we're talking about. That number, that since we expect to come in under there, as our finances allow, we'll be looking for other opportunities, needs in the city that we can come alongside. There's a number allocated there for church supplies. That's our coffee and cookies and other things like that that we enjoy on Sunday mornings. Sound equipment, we have a good sound system, so there's some money allocated there. Last year we made some major purchases, but those are pretty much done now, so I think we've made one purchase so far this year, but a smaller amount budgeted this year of $500. If you look under ministry expenses, we've got a couple of categories there. Some of these overlap a little bit, but as Nelson already explained, benevolence is for to enable us to come alongside anyone in our church family or community that has special needs, and we want to be able to support them. We've also budgeted the dollars amount there for outreach evangelism. That's for causes like St. John's Kitchen. Also, the Grace Network and specific church plants within the Grace Network. We as a church family were really blessed by the support that we got from other churches as we were starting, and we want to be able to do that to help plant churches and spread the gospel through other locations in Canada. There's a new item there under the ministry expenses called PCA membership fees. now that we're officially members of the PCA, there are membership dues, which are $11 per professing member. So we have 80 members when we last took 80 adult members when we last took count. And so that'll be $880 that we contribute to the Presbyterian Church in America. Community outreach is smaller initiatives that Pastor Paul does, things like renting the Princess Cafe for a Faith and Reason. Some of the, as I mentioned, some of these budget categories overlap. A lot of these are categories that we've inherited over the years from being part of the Grace Network. We'll be consolidating some of these budget categories to make the whole budget, the whole financial statement a little easier to follow, hopefully easier to follow. Ministry relations, that covers Pastor Paul's expenses as he meets with different people and things like that. And children's ministry, the various materials and things that we use for our children's programs. Youth ministry, that doesn't include rent, but other expenses for our youth ministry, $1,600. Guest speaker honorarium for when we have visiting pastors. It's nice to be able to give Pastor Paul and Susan a week off every once in a while, so we have to have some money in the budget for paying the expenses of guest speakers to come. Literature, from time to time we buy literature for the church. And then the bottom portion there, administration expenses. We've got insurance fees for church insurance. Accounting expenses, we're actually that category should be called professional fees. It covers the accountant that looks after our work, but also if we need any legal fees and that sort of thing. So we've got $5,500 budgeted there. Telephone, internet, web page, fairly straightforward. Office supplies, paper, ink, and then a number of bank fees. And we've got a category at the bottom that's got $0 budgeted against it for capital expenses. But in future years, if we start to see a need to build up some of our capital assets, then we'll start to put numbers in there. So you'll see that we budgeted for a total of $197,000 worth of expenses against a budgeted income of $182,000. We're actually anticipating a bit of a shortfall in this year as we continue to adjust and as our membership ramps up. We did that intentionally, but we understand that given what's happening in our city right now and across the world, that a lot of these numbers will change, and so it will be an interesting year to keep track of all of that. All of these numbers were put together before we got into our current situation. So that's the numbers. I'm going to just close that screen for a minute and just invite that if there are any questions on any of this or comments that we'll give you opportunity for that. We'll look for any raised hands on the participants list. And if not, then we can move on to Pastor Paul's portion of it.
Actually, Rick, let's just make an adjustment there. Why don't you share your screen again?
Okay.
Just for folks to have questions, they're probably... they're going to need to look at that. And then if you do have a question, I think go ahead and just unmute yourself and say your name and then go ahead and ask your question. And then Rick, myself, Doug and Nelson, and then I invite you guys to you can unmute to jump in if you like. I think I saw Andrew Lanesmith. You had a question. You can begin.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Rick, I was just wondering if you could just to explain a little bit more so the likes of me can understand better, the rationale for purposefully budgeting a deficit for this year.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure we had appropriate money in the budget for the expenses that we see for the year to come. But in order to project a balanced budget, we would need to then expect giving to go up significantly, and so we thought, well, it's probably not realistic to put a budget number in that we don't think we can achieve. Let's put in something that we think is reasonable to achieve, and we would then have a little bit of a shortfall this year if the budget numbers come in exactly. But as Nelson mentioned, we also have a cushion. We started the year with money in our bank account that has been accumulated over the years. And so that money was intended to help our church family as we get set up and as we can't quite support our own programs yet. That's what it was there for. And so rather than predict an income level that, I mean, first of all, we wanted to project expenses that we thought were reasonable expenses or, and you know, consistent with what we saw last year. And but then we didn't want to project a level of income that, you know, we don't think we could achieve just yet. So does that answer your question or is there a follow on that?
Maybe just a little follow. So in terms of what the cushion is at this point, I don't, can you give us an idea of what that is?
Yeah, our bank account, we began the year with $45,000 in the bank account.
Okay. So then hopefully then we will see over the next year or two that if we have a deficit this year, that the Lord will enable us to not run a deficit in the year or two to come. Okay.
That's right. We would expect, I believe that we've seen this a number of times over the last few years because we're a growing church and it takes a while for new members to come in and the giving to catch up to the expenditure rate. I mean, the single biggest increase in the budget for this year is that we basically brought our salary level to the level we think it should be at for having a full-time pastor and a part-time children's ministry leader. In past years, that number has been kind of suppressed, mainly due to the goodness of Paul and Susan, but as the ministry was starting up and we couldn't support that. So we wanted to put that number where it belongs. And so, yeah, we expect that, you know, the Lord will continue to bless and we'll be able to catch up to that number in years to come.
Great. Thank you.
Can I also just quick jump in too? Not that I'm at all suggesting that this is what we should do, but I would love to know just the rationale piggybacking off of Andrew's question is if we're budgeting for a deficit, but we've also already identified that a big chunk of the $30,000 for rent, we will not be needing to pay. What's the reasoning there and the deciding factor to keep the budget for the rent and whatever we don't pay for rent to give towards the city?
Yeah, so the rent number was there as I mentioned. This budget was put together before and put out there, you know, about a month ago already. Before we kind of recognized what we're going to be dealing with over the next few months in terms of having to pay less rent. But I guess a word of explanation too, in terms of how we help to the city. We're going to watch how things go within our church finances because we recognize some people within our church family might, get into a tighter situation, won't be able to give the way they might like to give. And so we will only take that money that we're saving on rent and put it towards other causes as the finances allow. We wouldn't do that if we see that our own, situation is starting to get a little more, if we're starting to eat into that cushion too much, then we would have to hold back on finding other causes. But we want to be, a church that, if we have the opportunity and if we have the finances, seize the opportunity to do some extra things in the community this year because we don't have the rent expenses. Mm-hmm. But that rent number was there already. That's the rent number that was there from the start of the year. So
yeah, I'll just jump in real quick, Rick, on that. Thanks for bringing that up, Owen, in regards to giving. So our desire when we had that discussion regarding giving the money allocated for rent in April to the Welcome House for the Refugees was that as Rick said at that point the giving in that month permitted us to do so, but that the rationale question is that it's For us, it's mission. So wanting to be responsible, but not wanting to go through this pandemic, circling the wagons and making sure that, you know, we started COVID-19 with 45,000 in the bank and we came out with 45,000. We want to be responsible, of course, and we have those discussions as a board, but just connected to mission. In particular, Welcome House, because their fundraising came to an abrupt halt, unable to do it, they are currently running a $7,000 a month deficit. So they could come out of this thing easily 30, 40 grand in the hole, or potentially have to close, which was, that was part of the driving reason for us to sit around and say, as a board, hey, we're able to do this month. Let's do it. Let's reevaluate month by month.
Paul here. I was thinking that our own benevolence budget might increase as well, given where we sit.
Yeah, agreed. That's correct. The benevolence number was adjusted in terms of budget number downward this year from what last year, because we put a generous number in last year, but then it just wasn't used very much. But you're correct, Paul. Yeah. Now the situation that we're going into, we want to be ready. If people need that kind of assistance, that we're ready to do that. So,
absolutely.
One comment that I just want to throw in as well is that sometime later this year, when things settle down, I'm going to be taking over as treasurer for KW Redeemer. As the organization has been getting set up and the good work of the Board of Trustees that was in place, but the Board of Trustees was Paul and Susan's, Paul's father-in-law, his brother, and his friend Doug, and so they rightly made sure that we had an accountant in place to handle our finances, and Carolyn Jones has been doing an excellent job for us. But moving forward later this year, I'm going to be taking over a lot of that function that she's doing. The advantage for us is just that we'll have a little bit more day-to-day control of the finances. We won't have to be calling Carolyn all the time and having her get back to us with numbers, which she's very good at when we do that. But we'll have that information ourselves all the time. So treasurer is a function that I've done before and for previous charities, and I enjoy playing with numbers. So, but the reason that I let all of you know that is that once we're in that position, and again, this will be sometime later this year, you can feel free to come to me at any time with questions on finances or your own contributions, and we can, you know, we'll be able to help you in perhaps a more personal way than having to wait and contacting Carolyn. So just so that you folks know that, but that won't be in place for the foreseeable future. So. Well, I think we're over to you then, Paul.
Okay, great. If of course, after this meeting, you think of something, feel free to reach out to Rick and Rick or Doug or Peter, and they could answer your questions for you. So thanks for that. And thank you to all of you for all of your faithfulness over the last 5 years in helping us establish this church. And we all do this together as ministers. And so I'm going to give you a ministry report now on just an exciting review of where God has brought us, his faithfulness. And then we're going to look to the future together.
Hey, Redeemer KW, it's Conan Kublik, the lead pastor at New City in Hamilton. and the director of the Grace Network Canada. I just want to take a minute, say congratulations on 5 years as a church. That is a really major accomplishment, more than you know. And you're to be congratulated on it as you grow together in Christ. And give some encouragement to Paul and Susan, too, as they've played a key role in getting you to this point as well. Excited to be with you guys in the future. Was hoping to be a part of installing elders and seeing God continue to take you to a next level as a church. Obviously, this can't help unwrap right at the moment, but looking forward to doing that with a group of people as soon as possible. But anyways, love you and take care. Bye now.
Well, happy anniversary, KW Redeemer. This is Pastor Dan from Grace Toronto just calling to say we're so proud of you. We're so thankful for you, for your love, for your care, for your desire to embody the gospel in word and deed to that great city. We just want to say a big hello to your gifted leaders, Paul and Susan, for whom we're so thankful. And for all of you, the elders, the lay leaders, everyone who has sown love and grace and prayers and mercy and love to Kitchener-Waterloo. We are grateful to God's kindness in the past 5 years. We hope you see his faithfulness to you, and we can't wait to see what he's going to do through you in the next few years. Have a wonderful anniversary. We thank God for you. Take care. Bye-bye.
I love it. Remember when we used to hang out? Remember that? I look forward to that. It's going to be great again. You know, when Conan, before he sent me that video today, he sent me a little email and he said, hey, only 20% of church plants make it to 5 years. Congratulations. And so like a good Star Wars nerd, I was like, never tell me the odds. But all of us together, I would just, again, I want to thank all of you who did do the risky thing of leaving established, well-established churches and lots of relationships to help us with this work and plant it and establish it. And so I want to just share with you a little bit about God's faithfulness here. We are a growing community. And you can see there on your screen, when we started, there was 26 of us. And today there are 83 adult members, 44 kids and youth and counting. So, you know, good on you, young families. Well done having babies, steady on. And so growing with children and youth. We also have 22 active worshipers with us regularly at Redeemer. They haven't yet committed to membership, but we see them all the time. So really, there's about around 149 of us in the Redeemer community. And if all the planets were aligned and we all showed up at church on the exact same Sunday, that's what it would look like, with all of us worshiping together. So as you can see, we've been kind of growing by about 10 adult members per year. And then, of course, the children that they bring on top of that. And so we are on mission in KW. We have been over this last year, and we still are, even in this very challenging moment. You know, you'll often hear me talk on the membership Sundays about members being ministers, and we are committed to being a warm and welcoming church to the unbelievers. So we want to share the gospel both corporately and individually. Corporately through church events, right, on many things that we do, and even Sunday mornings, wanting to be very warm, the kind of place where you feel like you could invite your neighbor and they wouldn't feel like they were interrupting a club meeting. Being missional looks like Sunday mornings being warm and friendly and reaching out. And back in the day when we used to shake hands, when that was a thing that people used to do, we'd do that. And it's a part of our process as we think thoughtfully through explaining our liturgy, even in my sermon preparation, being very thoughtful that I'm not just preaching to people who've known Jesus for decades, but that you might very well invite a neighbor who this is the first time they're hearing the gospel or hearing these churchy words. And so thinking through how to preach and minister in that way. So we want to do it corporately, faith and reason events and things like this that we've done, but also we are ministers individually. And that looks like you folks ministering in your places of work, having the conversations that you're having, with your neighbors, your family, your friends, like you do. And you as a membership embracing your the call as ministers of the gospel, which you have. And I'm just so thrilled. Susan and I are just thankful that the culture of Redeemer is that you do see yourself as gospel ministers. We do as a church family see ourselves as being on mission in KW together. But it isn't something that we farm out to other organizations. It isn't something that I do because it's my job. I'm the pastor and that's what you pay me to do. And that's true. But at the same time, I'm paid to equip you so that together we do it. And we're just so thankful, Susan and I, that you embrace that being ministers. We do want to continually engage our youth and invest in our children because, of course, we're a growing church. And as you saw, there's 44 youth and kids and little infants. And that's going to have a tremendous impact on the future of our church, the vibe of Redeemer over the years. It's very exciting to think about it. And so at the 223, where we regularly gather, our young people, even though that's a small group, they invite their friends regularly. So there's always, you know, two or three kids there who have no connection to church whatsoever. And we're thankful for the seeds of the gospel that are being planted in their teenage lives. And maybe we'll have the pleasure of seeing them come to faith and worship at Redeemer. Maybe we will be a stop along the way that God sovereignly uses in their life. And maybe one day later they'll come to faith and they'll be in somebody else's church and someone will ask them their faith journey. And the 223 will be a part of that story. Maybe you and I won't get the pleasure of ever hearing that story, but gospel ministry is happening. And of course we, because we have so many children and because the children are of course a big part of the future at Redeemer, we do want to continually invest in our kids. So with that, I'll just turn it over to Susan for just a few moments to speak to that.
Hello, everyone. Wave at me. I need feedback. Oh, I've said this to many people. I'm not comfortable with this format, but I fake it. Yes, as it relates to kids ministry, I was thinking about this when Paul asked me to just share a bit of the vision that I've really been involved in kids ministry since I was 13. I've just always loved kids. They're my favorite people. And I think that is one thing that we believe in at Redeemer is that kids are people and that they are image bearers of God. They're just tinier versions of. And so what kids ministry has looked like in this time of our life is obviously a little bit different. On Tuesdays, we have our Zoom Junior with our kids, and I'm not lying to you that it's my favorite part of the week. And our junior call at 3:30 is just after a lot of these little ones have just woken up, fresh-faced, and spending that half hour with them is pure delight. And I do want to also thank all of our volunteers who make kids ministry happen when we are actually having a service, because we couldn't do it without you. And our junior class is booming. As I'm regularly asking for more volunteers, we have 18 kids, kindergarten and under, on a regular basis on a typical Sunday morning. And so it's a busy place. But as I was starting to get ready for the 2020 year of curriculum, I realized that we've actually, since the beginning, gone through the whole Bible with our children's ministry. So in senior kids now, that's our grades 1 to 5 class, would have been through the whole gospel project. So the curriculum that we use, we do purchase it, and then I basically format it. It's not perfect, so I format it for our purposes and tweak and add as necessary. But the goal of this curriculum is that we see Christ in all of Scripture, so that you know that your kids from Genesis to Revelation are receiving Christ in all of Scripture. And you know, I think about, for me, around, I'm never good with dates, but when our gospel awakening happened, we argue about when that was exactly, but let's just say around 2009-ish, that I was reading the Jesus Storybook Bible to Nigel at night. And I remember just losing my, when I had this revelation, as the Jesus Storybook tagline is, every story whispers his name. And I realized that that is what the Bible is about. And it was the first time that I had this revelation. The Bible wasn't about me and what I needed to do for God, but it was about Christ and what he's done for us. And that not only was really the beginning of why we have Redeemer today, so it was really the catalyst, but it also is what keeps us going, what makes us want to provide great kids ministry for our kids on a weekly basis, as we realize and we understand that every story in the Bible whispers Christ's name. So using a curriculum that's sort of put out by a mainstream thing, sometimes they do actually lose that idea and I have to reel it back in. And that's also where it's helpful having an animator in the house, because the drawings that they've provided, and you realize the kids would be coloring Jonah underneath an angry withered fig tree, and you're thinking, I'm not sure I want the kids walking away with that picture they're coloring. Then I have Isaiah drum up a great picture of a whale. But as far as it relates to just our vision for Redeemer Kids, whether it is our catechism classes that we teach on Sunday mornings with a team of people who I'm thankful for our students, or pre our quarantine, we were doing taking the gospel and making it in, you know, chunks that kids can understand. Sorry, I'm just looking for something here. We want to have the gospel be beautiful for our kids and have them look forward to class and to learning. You know, over the years, as I've thought about this and talked to people, you know, sometimes the response about teaching doctrine to kids is like, well, why do kids need to know doctrine? And there is an understanding in that statement that that itself is a doctrine, that not having anything to pin our faith to is itself a doctrine. And so whether or not our kids are receiving solid doctrine, they're receiving something. And our culture wants to catechize our kids. Our culture wants to teach our children what their liturgy is, and that to live for oneself, to be obsessed with discovering your purpose, to be obsessed with consuming, to be obsessed with finding yourself. And we want to teach our kids about living outside of themselves for the one that died for them and lives for them. And I just wanted to share this quote from G.K. Chesterton. Many of you may be familiar with this quote, but I think it describes how I want our kids' ministry to be, how we want to relate to kids and our youth throughout our time with them. Because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, therefore they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, do it again. And the grown-up person does it again until he is nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony. But perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning, do it again to the sun. And every evening, do it again to the moon. It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but has never got tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy, For we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. Just a reminder of the vitality of our children and how important that they are. And even yesterday, we were back in Genesis talking about Cain and Abel. And I'm just encouraged because, and this speaks to, I saw David on the call earlier, but he's left, David Friesen, but his daughter Tiara, we were talking about sin and what is sin and sin. Oh, there you are, David. And Tiara, just straight up, sin is what we say, what we think, what we say, and what we do. That's law. And it's just like from the mouth of babes, she gets that. And we want our kids to understand big things in a simple way and keep that vitality with them. So I feel like I'm rambling now because this is so uncomfortable, but I do want to say thank you to everyone. And thank you for taking the time to have your kids on the call, even though I know that's not always convenient for you guys, but I think it blesses them. And I want to say a shout out to Aaron down there in the corner, because our ER nurse in Listowel, because we haven't got to see her much, just say thank you. Mm-hmm. And just another part of what I do at Redeemer, apart from kids, is just like take care of the care and needs that are ongoing in the church. So I think I'd like to also speak on behalf of all our new moms who've received meals over the last year, because we've had a lot of babies. And just organizing that is a joy, and they have been blessed. And I've received just encouragement from moms and people who are some of our emergency responders who've said the church is reaching out to them. The church has been so good. The church has been their family, and people have felt that, and they've communicated that to me, and I want to communicate that back to you to say thank you. And, you know, it's not hard being somebody who has to organize care when the care is coming our way. So thank you for that too. As far as Camp de Caillou goes, literally Paul and I were sitting down to look at campsites. We had a list of pages of campsites in Ontario where we could potentially rent when we got our sort of lockdown orders. So we don't know what that will look like for 2020, if we'll be able to have a Camp de Caillou, but we know that it will be in our future because doing that is so great. It has bonded, I think, our it's in our young youth, and we want to continue to have that experience for them. So,
sorry for the blah.
No, it was great. That was great. Thanks, Susan. Thanks. Good stuff. Well, as we wait a minute, who's this guy?
Paul.
Who's this guy I'm seeing here? Hold on a minute. We're being Zoom bombed.
He's hey, muted. Guys. This is totally Paul Dunk's fault. He told me to jump on the call and just say blessings to you guys and congratulations on 5 years. I don't have too much to say here. In fact, this might sound a little abrupt and awkward to you guys, but if I could say one thing that might be meaningful and substantial, I see a lot of faces staring at me here. One prayer that Paul and Susan have been a wonderful support to my wife and I as we've thought about church planting and pursued ministry. And I know you guys have been an extension to that through your prayers and giving to us. This, and this is a Paul's prayer to the church of Colossae. And he simply said, he asked God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, your wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, pleasing to him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and in growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and to give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in his inheritance. And so I would say to you guys, I'm still on here, that's my prayer for KW Redeemer, that you continue to grow the gospel to bear fruit in Kitchener and Waterloo. So bless you guys, and thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for bombing in, bro. All the best to you and Kayla as you guys plant in Edmonton.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
All right. Take care. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. As we, as I close the miniature report here, I just want to encourage you, church, we're still on mission. I mean, I know we're quarantined, but I am so thrilled about the many conversations that you are having that are meaningful, opportunities that opened up for the gospel that you have shared with me. And church, we're all called to mission. And that can look like going and telling, but that can also look like the come and see part. We're familiar with go into all the world and preach the gospel, which was Christ's command to the apostles. And of course, they did that. And they did take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And by extension, this commission is given to all of God's people, 2 Corinthians 5, which is God has committed to us the message of reconciliation, and we therefore are Christ's ambassadors, as though he's making his appeal through us. And so I'll just bless you guys as you are doing your ministry at work and with your neighbors as you're reaching out and going out. But, you know, for some of you, the idea of doing mission is terrifying, and the idea of giving a defense and speaking is very intimidating. And I have good news for you, because there's another form of mission, and it's not the go and tell, it's come and see. And you find this where they come, Philip comes to Nathanael, and he says, we found the one that Moses wrote about in the law, and whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And there's this very familiar line that you all know, Nazareth, can anything good come from Nazareth? Think of it. Can anything good come of Christianity in 2020? Can anything good come from this thing called church? Can anything good come from organized religion? Just think of all of the hurdles that the modern culture has. Can anything good come from this church you say you go to, KW Redeemer? I don't believe you. Can anything good come from this? What's your answer? Come and see. Invite them. You invite them to church where they can hear the gospel. Some of us are going to go and tell. Some of us are going to say, come and see. But it is God that does the work through his church. And I'm thankful for all of you as we're all doing gospel ministry together. So with that, Owen, I will turn it over to you, and I'll invite you. Before I do that, if anybody did have any closing questions or comments in regards to the mission at Redeemer, as we are looking to move forward in sharing the gospel. Right before the COVID hit, a young woman at Redeemer named is Martha. She set up an event at the University of Waterloo where I was scheduled to speak in the math building to do a Faith and Reason event to speak to the university students. You may have noticed her at the back of the auditorium with a growing congregation of university students around her. And so sadly that got canceled, but mission has not been canceled. And when we resume and gather again, we're going to be doing mission. And maybe you have any questions or comments about what ministry will look like as we move forward, but I'll give you an opportunity now before we turn it over to Owen to close us out with a closing hymn. So over to you, members, if anybody had any comments or questions.
I have a comment. I know I said thank you, but I feel like I need to say another. Just every time I see people's faces and realizing, like, I didn't know most of you. I mean, there's a few faces of people I knew, but I didn't know most people. And just God is, so this is a thank you to you, but it's also a praise to God, because God has drawn you. And you know, Paul said it in the video, like, leaving established churches, leaving some cities, and for some of you, moving here, Rick and Ann, and now you're one of our elders and elder family. And I'm just overcome with gratitude to you, but also to God. He is faithful, and that, you know, from the beginning, Paul and I said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. That would be, we would be faithful in proclaiming the gospel, and God would draw people whom resonated with that. And so praise to God, and thank you to you.
Just wanted to share a comment. For many years before I came to KW Redeemer, church for me, I went to church because I believed it was the right thing to do, not because I wanted to. And that's all changed. And now Sundays is like the high point of my week. Every week it's like, yes, it's Sunday. I love it. And the declaration of the gospel is so refreshing every week. And then I always stay as long as I can for the coffee time. Just really enjoy connecting with this people. And you guys have become very much family for me. So I'm so grateful to God for this church.
Wish there was a hug function on here, but I'm giving you a hug, Andrew, and all of you here we go. It's a clap and a hug.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you all for taking the time to be together tonight in this way. It's just really important.
All right. The library staff are about to kick us out. It's almost 9 o'clock, so we better be punctual and close this meeting up. I just imagine ruckus laughter in response to my little.
Oh man, you're killing me, Peter. You're killing me, man. It's the worst. We're just sending our dad jokes out into the ether. Nothing lands.
All right, let me pray for us here, church. Almighty God, we come before your throne of grace in humble acknowledgement that we are broken and in need of your grace. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us. We thank you for the promise of life eternal, the promise of a new heavens and a new earth that we can look forward to. We thank you for that hope that we cling to. Use us, Lord, in accomplishing your redeeming work on this earth that right now is plagued with disease all around the world. And we pray that you will heal those especially affected by the coronavirus. Heal those within this city. We look forward, Lord, to the day when you will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. God, we pray for those in the city who don't know you. We pray for the poor, their next meal will come from. We don't have a place to call home. Bless the work of St. John's Kitchen and all their staff and volunteers. Be with the underemployed, Lord, those who have recently lost their employment and face an uncertain economic future. And be with the refugees in this city who are foreigners in this country and in this city and face financial uncertainty, personal uncertainty, not knowing whether they'll be permitted to stay and where they can call home. May we not forget, Lord, that we ourselves are refugees on this earth and that our citizenship is in heaven. And yet you call us to love this city and to love our neighbors here around us, continue to bless and sustain the work of the Mennonite Coalition for Refugee Support, Father, in Kitchener-Waterloo. And continue to bless our work in building relationships with neighbors in this city. Give hope, Lord, to those that are despairing. Give peace to those who are anxious, and give courage to those who are fearful. Help us to be attentive to our neighbors right now, Lord, to be receptive to your call to minister the gospel, to be prepared to give a defense of the hope that is in us. We thank you for 5 years of faithful ministry. Thank you for loving your church and for caring for us, Lord. Thank you for Paul and Susan and their faithful work in ministering and in loving us and leading us in
leading by example in how we can care for one another in love and community. Lord, continue to bless each member of KW Redeemer, Lord, and all those attending. And we thank you for this time that we could spend together, and pray for a blessing on the remainder of our week. And may we continue to be spiritually fed through this virtual time, this time of not being able to interact physically, Lord. And we long for that. And thank you, Lord, that suffering and you, Jesus, know far more than we do what it means to be alone, as you were alone on the cross. And we thank you for sharing in our suffering and for carrying the burden for us, Father. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.